It's Daisha Hunter, and I'm back like I never left. You're listening to the Hip Hop Digest Show, and this season, fuck your feelings, vote. 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 Vote.
Rap music in the music industry is so corrupt, so perverted, so evil that rappers that rap about killing and stealing and drug dealing and all that can reach the top of the music profession. They can perform at halftime. That speaks to how corrupt the music industry is. It doesn't say, hey, Snoop Dogg is right. What it says is the system is so corrupt that corrupt people now reach the top. Reach the top. Reach the top. Reach the top.
Welcome to the Hip Hop Digest Show with your man, DJ King Killer.
Don't forget about your boy, Kurt G.
And yes, it's your boy, E. Grease. We all in here today.
Yes, sir.
We back.
Yes, sir.
All right. No doubt. Indeed. It's good for the whole squad to be in for this show and whatnot. We've got a couple of topics, a couple of things going on bubbling. Before we get started, anybody got any announcements, anything like that?
Nah, no announcements. I'm back. Had a little brief vacation.
Oh, okay. That's what. Before we get started, yo, tell us about Tennessee.
Yeah.
Tennessee.
Hey, Kurt.
I see the nigga was stretching and shit. Yeah. I'm like, I'm in here trying to get this nigga some liquor for him, and he talking about this nigga going to talk about some liquor.
Oh, my goodness.
Me and wifey signed up to go on one of the little tours down there in Nashville, one of the distillery tours and shit. So we ended up at one of the distilleries, and I text this nigga. I think I called you.
You called me.
I called you and was like, yo, you want some liquor or something? He was like, oh, yo, whatever you bring.
Yeah.
So I'm in there. I'm getting some local shit, some born and bred Tennessee whiskey, some shit they make themselves. They had a little tasting and shit, so we tasted it. Joint was all right. It was like some apple pie shit, and then they had shit they had. I was like, okay, tastes pretty good. But yeah, anyway, me and wifey had a good time. It was her birthday. We were supposed to be coming out there where you was at, sir. But
no doubt.
But
no
Spirit doubt. Fucked us over and shit, so we ain't get a chance because Spirit was talking that canceled flights and making us come in later. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Man.
Making us have layovers, 4 or 5 hour layovers. I'm like, that's some bullshit. I'm not doing that. I'm not going
to
waste my whole...
You wanted you to go out to dinner with niggas and shit?
Nah, I wasn't doing that. I said, fuck that shit. We're going to go ahead and cancel that. Give us our money back for this shit. So we got our money back for that shit and then ended up booking something to Tennessee because my wife was like, I ain't never been to Tennessee. And we picked the place in Tennessee. It was Nashville. Looked up Nashville. It was all right. We had a good time in Nashville. I didn't think Nashville was like that. But it is. They got mostly country. You know, that's the home of country. Dolly Parton and all that shit. But we went down there to the National Museum of Black Music in Nashville. It's pretty good. They hooked it up in there. So they got everything in that bitch. Everything. I suggest anybody that gets to Nashville or the Tennessee area to go to the history, music history in Tennessee.
Wow.
Museum.
Incredible. That's what's up. No doubt. All right, sir. No doubt. Well, let's jump right in. First topic on Hip Hop Digest is the BET Hip Hop Awards. Are trash. Been trash for a long time.
We've been stopped watching that.
No doubt. And as far as the show goes here, this is just covering it for fiduciary reasons. Been trash for a long time. But on the major podcast, and you know who they are, they was covering it and they was like, yo, they held that junk at a nightclub in Vegas.
Wow.
Not an event hall, not, you know, somewhere prestigious, at least halfway prestigious, no, at a nightclub.
That just
I was trying to get you tickets, B.
Nah, keep them, B, keep them.
And I hear everything from the production to the performances is straight garbage.
Wow.
Worse than the Source Awards back in the day?
B, to make the Source Awards look like a whole, you know, whole hookup thing, yo, look like it's prominent. But this is the thing. See, BET, which is not black owned, that we know, and that we know that rap, especially commercial rap, is the lowest common denominator and is now getting treated as such. I would like to know the backstory. Because the major podcasts were covering it was like Preem and a lot of major players was like, I ain't never You ain't got to worry about me messing with y'all folk no more. Now, I don't know if that's money, or I don't know if that's on the production side, or at the end of the day, I always gotta wonder, at the end of the day, do people look themselves in the mirror and was like, I'm not even trying to front. This shit is full of non-rapping clowns. I'm out.
It's not representing the hip-hop.
It's not really, not even what I used to love, yo. It just doesn't even, it just represents the lowest common denominator. And I can't sit up there anymore and swallow big enough folks that just, they're just not good.
It has caught up with itself, finally. You know, people, even myself, when I used to watch it, I was hoping. And then when it got to the point where you're watching it just to see the cypher, and then you're watching it to the point where, like, you see the cypher's even whack.
Right.
Then it's like, damn, yo, it ain't got nothing for me at this point. And I think now more people are just right there.
What happened is they got away from hip-hop. Well, it never was hip-hop to begin with. But when they got further and further away from hip-hop and just start picking whoever the flavor of the day is, no matter if it's the host or whoever, just trying to make it so people would want to put eyeballs on it any way they could. But after a while, like he said, it ain't even worth watching this shit, because what am I watching it for? There's no reason to watch this shit.
Mm. So, just a further, I wouldn't say chinking in armor, because I don't think it has any armor at this point, is to see the destruction of commercial. And I repeat, see destruction of commercial rap. I mean, it's the best thing that can ever happen. You know?
from your perspective.
Well, no, there's a lot of people out there who are really, really worried. You know, they're really, really worried. I mean, we didn't have a demolition disco day, but we are now seeing the total destruction now. But that's a twofold thing. Labels are just totally folding in on themselves. And so, you know, and commercial rap has kept the lights on for a long time. You know, low overhead, you know what I'm saying? Bunch of street cats, you know, drug heads, you know, they keeping the lights on. But now, you know.
So I got a question.
Go ahead.
Also, I have a question. Oh, damn. So, I'll stop.
Listen,
I'll
okay, wait. Rock, paper, scissors. Go ahead, man.
All right. So, my question would be, whose fault is this? Is it the fault of the greedy record companies just pushing out the most garbage bullshit they could and making top profits off of it? Or is it the consumer's fault for consuming this bullshit?
Well, okay, so that is a great question. First and foremost, this is just, I'm just being 100, yo. We be 100 with ourselves. First and foremost, it's our fault.
That's where I would place the blame.
That's the first order of business, blame. You know, this is a success in blame is us. Because at the end of the day, you could take... And there has been a lot of guys like this who are either very good artists, very good producers, very good MCs, very good A&R people, and they know what's dope. They know who can MC, they know what's what. But guess what? When some other shit comes in sideways and the money is so big, they just like, I don't care. And they riding with it.
I would like to add,
my man, please.
Because Kurt said the folks, and then you added, you know, us. Well, I would like to add the artist, if, and I use the term loosely, because you're not really being an artist when you are just copying something else and trying to get a piece of it yourself.
All right,
is what I'm saying.
Indeed,
I want to put some blame on the artist as well, because they, if they didn't make this shit, then the labels couldn't force it on people.
Yeah, but how you...
And then, what?
What I was going to say is how you going to... I guess I'm kind of putting them last, though. Because let's say you make something. And we talked about this, you know, on this show for many a year. You know, you make something, you know what I'm saying, called, you know, two booties and a milkshake and put a dance to it, and it blows, right? I mean,
yeah.
You know, I'm just going with the flow. And as everybody says, the most important thing's the bag anyway. You know what I'm saying? All is cultural, this, that, and the third. You know, who really cares about that? If you happen to be on the label, by the time two booties and a milkshake blow, you know what I mean? You gonna get approached by the label, so everybody, you know, has got their hand in the till. Who's gonna stop that money?
So then there it goes back to the consumer. Because who the fuck wants to listen to a song called Two Booties and a Milkshake?
What type of milkshake is it anyway?
Hey, B, I'm just saying.
B, we the hamster on the wheel, because it's all of those things. It's like trying to make fire. You got to have those three things to make fire, right? You need all of these things we're saying for this bullshit to be happening. Right. Because many years ago, we've said if people would just call the fucking radio station and say, I don't need my daughter listening to no booty jiggling shit at 6:45 in the morning trying to get to school. They would have got that shit out of there. But nobody called the radio station.
Right, but then you're agreeing with us that the consumer is the number one at fault. Because
yes, the consumer.
You can't sell nothing if nobody don't want to buy it. You can go outside. You can go outside with $1 million. But if niggas find out that if they take one of them dollars, they're going to get their head cut off, they're going to stop taking that money from you.
Okay. So let's forward the conversation a little bit. So let's say the labels are folding in on themselves, and now it's a new paradigm. So you don't really have labels anymore. You have a series of streaming services who are already baked in. Now, they say the labels is getting in on the back door, doing a lot of analytics and doing a lot of, you know, capturing the data and being the kings of the data. So I don't know about that. But listen, it's a new paradigm. It's no radio station.
Right.
Okay. And it's no label.
Right.
Okay. Now you got the social media Jones, whether you on that Musk John or whether you TikTok, Instagram, whatever the new Jones is, right? Now that's the new thing. So you could still put out the two booties Jones, right? But you don't need the long as it catches fire and you got every person in every hood, you know, and every place that you live doing the two booties dance. That's the equivalent. So you saying a consumer ultimately, was it always at the end of the day the consumer?
No, it wasn't always the consumer.
Because you could get a guy or young lady who's nice on that mic, right? But man, they just thrown in the scrap heap. Yeah, it's just another wording hood.
At one time, the consumer ruled. The consumer did rule at one time. When we the community said something was fire, it was fire. Because we were told. We weren't told it was fire. And then we like, okay, it's fire. We determined what was fire.
But you know what? I believe that somewhat, but I also believe that back then when hip-hop was new and fresh and they didn't have a formula to this shit before they got to now, they had to take whatever was hot in the streets and blow it up. So they didn't have a choice but to take what was the nigga that on the street said was hot. Now they flipped it and said, this is hot and you're going to like it.
So I'm gonna say this. Anyway, it just totally gets back to a little bit, just kind of back to BET. The fact that the BET Hip Hop Awards is basically now, and I hope they don't, first of all, I hope they cancel it, because it's not even worth doing. It's really not even worth doing. And shout out to a certain extent, you know, Tyler, the Creator, who people were talking about a statement that he made, that now that you got, you know, these white kids who are coming up and who are just mimicking, whether if it's Gucci Mane or some of the trap, or mostly trap kids. They just mimicking the hell out of these trap kids. Now, they can do that, right? Because the approachable, I'm not going to call it art, but the approachable fare that they're saying, oh, I can do that. It's easy for them to do. It was very difficult for a MC a white MC, and I'll just call it white just for the sake of conversation, to do what KRS-One was doing, or Chuck D, or anybody else of that nature. You know what I'm saying? It was very difficult. You can't really pull that off. You know what I'm saying? It's very easy to pull that off, and I'm just being honest with you. If you're doing trap is kind of the same thing over and over again, and so is gangster, for that fact of the matter, you know? So,
well, what it was to me, it's always been, and what made it tough for white people to even crack into this shit was because it was so much of a culture, a black culture, should I say, thing, that they couldn't relate. And even if they could relate, they couldn't repeat half the words or talk half the shit that the niggas was saying in those rhymes anyway.
Well, because it had such a, an aesthetic, you know what I'm saying? Like they used to say, like, you know, back in the days, you know, when certain jazz artists, the aesthetic was so black, you know what I'm saying, that white people couldn't do it without totally doing a minstrel.
Right.
You know, and this is the same thing. You know, the Beastie Boys showed up at Russell Simmons', you know, office, right, instead of in punk rock gear, which he knew them in, they showed up in black gear. And Russell told them, that shit's blackface. You know, you can't do that. Be who you are, okay? And so, what I'm saying is that you take all of that in concert, you know what I'm saying, from the BET, the folding in of the labels, people running around here really generally concerned about, oh, yeah, what are we going to do, you know, when these labels fold up? Well, I can't wait, because who rules the day? Is it going to be the young people with all the energy and the social media platforms that when that catches fire and that rules the day? Or do we get back to some real artistry? And that's across the board. That's just not even with rap. That's not even with rap.
To me, the labels are pretty much going to get back to artistry and doing what they, and back to regular artistry. But I think hip hop is going to be getting the short end of the stick until they decide to get their artistry up.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only way they're going to actually be able to start making any type of headway in this shit, because right now they're on the way down. They're still very popular as far as streaming goes, but they don't have anything to add to the shit. There's nothing to add. Everything is a repeat, no matter who's doing it, whether you're white, black, green, or yellow. They all doing the same trap type shit.
Anyway, I would like to, again, give a further shout out to Tyler, the Creator. I have since at least Cherry Bomb have become such a fan. So shout to you, bruh.
You got the new album?
I got the new album, and it is... Oh. It's something that we have to talk about at some point.
Okay.
Okay. Next topic on Hip Hop Digest. As of right now, I'm getting a text from a man who is typing in a lot of Go Yankees, right?
Oh, they was up 4-0 when I got 4-0 when I got out the car. They was up 4-0.
Oh, the Yankees were winning?
4-0 when I got out the
it's
car.
It's 5-0 now, Yankees.
5-0. Okay. Okay. It was 4-0 when I got the car.
So anyway, in the midst of the World Series, what this got to do with the Hip Hop Digest is, next topic on the Hip Hop Digest, Major League fans slam sellout Ice Cube for evidence claiming the world rapper's allegiance to the Dodgers. So you got Ice Cube.
What's wrong with that?
Well, see, the problem is that they done call Ice Cube in mad Yankee gear.
But maybe he just liked the hat.
This ain't no Yankee fitted, yo. This ain't no Yankee fitted. He got the Yankee fitted, John. He got the starter, you know what I'm saying? Rocky, you know, Reggie Jackson throwbacks. I mean, they call Ice Cube out there, and now he want to show up out L.A. with Dodgers gear on. They was like, nah, nigga, you a sellout.
But he's from out there.
Well,
people find the miss shit to be worried about, B. I swear to God.
But maybe he was like I was. I mean, I've been they're Commanders now, but I've been the Redskins / Commanders fan forever. But I just fell off after a while because they was 20 years of just mediocreness. So I was like, I see them from afar. I ain't messing with them. And I just became more and more of a Ravens fan. Like, you know, Ravens, they're actually playing football out. They're actually picking people to play football. This is I don't know what the hell Snyder and them niggas doing over there.
I think that
that the team has started to got something going different, I'm like, wait a minute. All right. And niggas see me now, but like, oh, nigga, you wasn't riding with us when he was doing bad. Oh, I was tired of y'all niggas doing bad. I just got on my fucking nerves. Like, so, I'm sick of this
shit. So now there is, I will say that there is a certain amount that you got to kind of ride with your team. I've cheered for different players for the longest time. I was an Eric Dickerson guy. I was a Barry Sanders guy. You know, I like those individual players. Again, like Lamar Jackson. I like Lamar. You know what I'm saying? I don't mind cheering for him. I am a Philadelphia Eagles fan and a Los Angeles Laker fan, and I kind of agree with them, G. Because when the Lakers was down,
they was down,
and I was on board.
You stayed on board, B, and I stayed on board, but it was from afar. I wasn't even giving a fuck about them niggas.
Can I pull a Kurt G?
What's that?
I'm going to pull a Kurt G. Y'all niggas tripping. Did you forget that there was a moment where he came to New York and made incredible music and lived in that period, even shaved off his Jerry Crow?
I do remember that. So you saying that, right?
during that period he became a Yankee fan?
Yeah.
Hey, maybe he became a Yankees fan, but there's more.
Wait.
Remember when he was back with Dub C in the Mad Circle or whatever, all of that? Remember that?
West Side Connection.
He went right back. West Coast, baby. West Coast. He went back.
But he is from there.
I understand why we have... What?
He is from there.
I don't give a fuck who Ice Cube tears for.
He's from there. And fans. Okay. Look, only thing... Yeah. Look, the topic is, at the end of the day, if you out there, and I guess I'm putting it like this, and it's probably a bad analogy. Remember when the Confederate flag jumped and people was thinking, okay, we got to start pulling the Confederate flag down, right?
Right.
And niggas got caught out there. Ludacris, probably the biggest name, got caught out there with Confederate flag gear on. It's just...
Yeah, that's a little bit different.
That's a little bit different.
that's a whole lot different, but... That's a whole lot different. So yeah, we talking MLB to the Klan? Come on, B.
Okay, I'm just saying, yo. Sometimes you get caught with the wrong gear on.
Yeah, B.
Oh my god! I hear that Bugs Bunny shit in my ear right now.
Oh my god!
At the Abe Lincoln. Bugs Bunny, look it up.
the one where he was like something about what are you doing whipping slaves? That one?
Yeah.
All right, that's what's up, yo.
Crazy.
Damn. All right, next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is, you know, I really should have gotten the charges together, but just the announced charges are bad enough. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is accounting the amount, but do we really need to count the amount? Rapper, award-winning rapper Lil Durk, charged for murder for hire for the killing of musician King Von.
He didn't kill Von.
No, he hired somebody to kill the people who killed Von.
Oh, okay.
Murder for hire.
Murder for hire.
It is amazing to me. Matter of fact, award-winning. It says right here, right off the top, Grammy award-winning rapper Lil Durk has been charged in a murder-for-hire plot targeting rapper unknown guys. I'm not going to say their names. Involvement in the killing of an up-and-coming musician in Atlanta in 2020. Okay. Now, they done traced money and phone calls back to Mr. Durk's organization, a car rented by Durk's organization and paid for, money withdrawn and given to the murderers. I doubt if Mr. Durk will get out of jail. Depends, though, if he got a good lawyer who knows.
These days, these niggas...
It's not looking good, B.
It's not the temperature right now, B. He ain't getting off.
Nah.
B.
It's not looking good.
B.
Under any circumstance.
His name ain't Trump, B.
Prosecutors allege that all five men named in the indictment have ties to the rap group only the family formed by Dirk in 2010. Okay. The Chicago native 32 is a defendant and has vehemently denied claims that the family is a gang.
Oh, this shit sounds familiar.
Yeah.
It sounds very familiar. Sound like that shit that happened in Atlanta.
Okay, so he done won Grammys and from what I hear, I'm not familiar with his music, but from what I hear, he is a major young star. And there's plenty of people who listen to his music. Yo, son, does that gang affiliation, does that gang... Yo, are you... Now, this is what I'm going to say. Again, I plead ignorance about, other than book knowledge about gangs. We know that Chicago and L.A. boast the longest affiliated organized gangs in the country. New York had gangs back in the days, but they faded for obvious reasons, you know. But Chicago and L.A., boy, they take that gang thing so serious.
To this day.
To this very second.
So that you are so indoctrinated that no matter your success... No matter, you know, and I went to college and I got a regular job, I got a family, but if some OG comes around and I got to put work in, that's what it is? Yeah, I'm asking, but it's so impossible for me to relate.
To me, the whole thing, like you said, it sounds so crazy to be at his level. You could basically say he's rags to riches story. You came from... whatever from the neighborhood that you came from in Chicago, and you raised and rised up to this position to where you're at, and it's like you rose there by doing and talking about the shit that happened in your neighborhood, whether you was telling true stories or not, you rose up by doing that, and you became what you became, a la Jay-Z, from drug dealing to billionaire. You actually rose up from this area to mayor to there, and you stay instead of getting the fuck out and getting away like Jay-Z, you stayed right here in this position and stayed close to them and brought them closer, created a family atmosphere and made it even brought a network around yourself and surround yourself with the same shit that you got away from. You got to a level where you don't have to do that shit no more. You don't even need to be a part of this shit no more.
What happens is, and this is you can book this one. Money makes you more.
It does.
And where did they come from? They come from that shit.
According to the indictment, officials allege the men using an OTF, that's the organization apparently Dirk founded, used a credit card from that organization to purchase plane tickets to Los Angeles, a rental car, and a hotel for the men to search out and kill the people who were apparently... allegedly have killed his boy.
But it's a recipe for disaster is what happened. He created his situation and he stayed in it. He was no longer maybe living in the streets of Chicago. He was no longer around old block and all that shit, but he wanted to stay affiliated with it. And it's like, damn, B, you got to stay a part of this shit that tight? Really?
Well, I don't have a lot of conjecture on this. Every time it happens, and it happens a lot.
It happens. It's happening right now, just from niggas that ain't famous.
Yeah, but okay. I mean, if you're out on the block and that's your vocation, you know, that's just like, it's kind of like, you know, the life you chose. There's a lot of people say we didn't really have a choice, but on some level, there is a life you chose.
It is the life you chose.
You know,
always a choice.
There's always, like I always tell niggas, there's always a choice, even if it's the choice. Always. The choice, you might not like the choice, but there's always
a
choice.
There's a choice.
Even if the choice is death, there's a choice, my nigga. You might not want, I don't want to die. I'm going to have to go do this. Well, you had a choice, but
you made a choice not to die.
You chose not to die, so you're going to do this.
Yep.
So, anyway, but yeah, I guess the point I'm saying is that it's such an unfortunate situation. More details to come. Usually, I would have probably went in on a heavy count in the amount, but I was just... in a way, I guess I felt disgusted. I was like, man, these cats, yo.
It's just rinse, wash, repeat, B. It's just at a different level with this shit.
Yeah. And you know what's crazy is I saw a clip of Wallow imploring these young men to choose a different way.
And he should know.
He did time.
Didn't he do almost 15 joints?
Tall time.
Yeah, he should know.
But he was to tears. Imploring these young men to change their lives.
This is what we get. The prison complex, the jail system is not for no fucking body, B.
It's waiting on you.
Once you get in there, B, they don't want to let you go. They don't want to let you go. Because you're a fucking money maker at that point. Just having a body in that bitch.
You are a slave.
Creating funds. And it's not going in your pocket.
According to the state of Nevada, anyway.
Eggs. So. Well, in the United States of America.
Okay, indeed. Indeed. All right, next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is I wanted this to be Dr. Dre caught on a hot mic, but he knew it was hot. So it wasn't unscripted.
Oh my God. Damn, what happened? I don't even know where you're going with this. Where are you going?
So anyway, next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre on the... Stephen A. Smith. Oh, God, I should know this, but I don't have it. Hold up. This is the Dr. Dre. Anyway, yes, it was Stephen A. Smith. Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg did an interview with Stephen A. Smith, and Dr. Dre was unguarded with his criticism of today's producers. I couldn't believe it. My mouth just hung open as I listened to the interview and listened to Dre criticize young producers. To a lesser extent, young rappers, but the criticism, and of course, backed up by Snoop doing a lot of Yassa Bossing on there, which that's a whole nother thing. as far as that goes. But anyway, Dre is criticizing the fact that, you know, he is like the artist today and what it is today, have 1,000 producers on the album, 1,000 guest appearances, you know, that type of thing, and produced by a lot of different people. And it doesn't give a cohesion on albums, you know. Of course, you know, back in the days, just like, you know, any dinosaur. You know what I mean? Back in the day.
That's what anybody, your time period when you grew up was always better than the time period with the younger people growing up. Like we grew up in a time that was way better than it is now. And these kids that we say is worse than us, their kids, they're going to be telling them the same shit. Man, when we came up, man, we was better than this shit that's going on right now. And we say they trash. So where are we heading?
Well, I tell you what, but everybody wasn't down with that. Buck Wild called bullshit on it.
Wow.
Buck Wild was like, nigga.
D-I-T-C Buck Wild?
D-I-T-C Buck Wild was like, nigga, there is plenty of albums where Dre, you know, and there's a other variety of producers, including Dre. So don't act like, you know.
Dre ain't just mailing beats to get on a placement on somebody's shit.
Buck Wild got down to the nitty gritty and was like, yo, Dre was getting a lot of credit, and he know damn well others, Daz, DJ Quick, and others were doing the actual producing.
Well, hold on, B. Hold on. Okay. Hold on. Let's rewind here. Because, see, for rap, a producer is a nigga that makes the beat and sends it to a motherfucking near rap point. That's the producer. For other forms of music, a producer don't necessarily have to be the one that made the track. He has to be the one that actually brings the shit together and puts it all into the form of, all right, what's our man from
Quincy?
Quincy did the same thing. He had a lot of damn instrumentals players in there, a lot of everything. They did the work. He might have wrote some notes and did some shit, but he arranged the shit and put everybody in place and did it the way a producer does shit.
So that's what Scram Jones said. Ding! I was going to get there. Right. Scram Jones said there's a difference between an actual producer in a classic sense versus rap, where you just got beat makers.
Right. Exactly.
So it provided a good amount of conjecture out there, again, because Dre is so guarded. You know, he's one of these guys, you know, never say nothing, you know, never interview or whatever. And even if when he does, he's so guarded, you don't really get the real feeling. Right. You know what I'm saying? Which, now, to be honest with you, I found it refreshing. And you needed more of that. You needed more of a Dre to be critical. You need more of a Questlove to be like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Back in the day, Mike Will, I give him credit for being, you know, Mike Will made it, but God damn it, that shit sounded the same to my ears. You know what I'm saying? You know, and they have Mike Will say, fuck Questlove, that old motherfucker. Hey.
But that's it, but Mike Will is... He's in the classic form of what a hip hop or a rap producer is. They just the beat makers, and that's it. A rap producer is a beat maker. That is what they are. They're not producers in rap. There ain't a lot of producers in rap hip hop. People that actually put it together.
Right.
Isn't there right. Not a few. Not a whole bunch of them people exist. Most people make the beat, and they're called a producer when you make the beat.
Mm-hmm. Well, Metro Boomin and Timberland came down on the side of Dre. Saying, yeah, wow. One of the young bulls, they ain't it. They ain't wow. Got it.
But sound like some ageism again.
That's what it is. It sounds like niggas is finally feeling at the point of, you know what, I don't need these niggas. You know how so long we always talk about, see, they're going to need them for a check one day.
Right.
For these niggas, Dre and all these niggas, Timberland, and I'm like, I don't need these niggas. Fuck it. Yeah, they sound the same.
Oh, they don't need these folks for a check, man.
Right, I don't need these niggas.
Wow. Oh. Well, yo, brothers, I got a non-emergency situation I got to bounce out. I have one request, though, before I bounce.
What
Kurt,
up?
When I listen to the show, I want to hear your thoughts on how these young folks is being, young boys is being raised these days, because you a father yourself who had to raise a boy to a young man. So when I listen to this show, I hope to hear your thoughts on that shit, because, you know, we were talking about how these boys are raised different with all that wiggling in the videos, all of that shit. So do me that favor.
You're trying to get a viral moment from me, huh?
Hey, it can happen.
You want the one niggas to be like, listen to what this old nigga said.
All right, well, I love y'all, brothers, and I'll talk to you in a minute.
All right, love you too, bro.
All right, peace. All right, as we continue on, next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is, I don't know if I'm going to have an opinion about young niggas wiggling, but this is something that I kind of keep my eye on. Again, being a dinosaur, I am. Standalone DJ systems. Wow. Here we are in, you know, 2024, the year of our Lord, going into 25 shortly. And, you know, a migration is starting to take place. It's been taking place for a little while or whatever. I just kind of been on the sideline peeking at it or whatever.
Right.
Standalone DJ systems, controllers with the operating system built in where you don't need your laptop. Note to, or at least a signal to the people who are doing Soretto DJ, you better get your shit together and start hooking up with somebody, okay? Because you're strictly on the computer. Now, don't get me wrong. There is a big caveat, and hopefully we can get to that.
Okay.
But anyway, I want to talk about standalone systems, and I want to talk about five different systems. They're not the newest, okay, but they've been around for a little bit, okay, and it's just a cross-section of what standalone DJs, if you are a DJ. And I'm going to start at number five, which is the Denon DJ Prime Go Plus. Now, this Plus, there's a Prime Go, and then there's a Prime Go Plus. The difference is the Plus has a battery. It's a 4 to 5 hour battery. Costs about $1,000.
For the battery?
No, for the unit.
Oh, shit, nigga. I'm like, I'm out.
No, just for the unit.
Okay.
Just for the unit, okay? Now, this is, you know, these standalone things are pretty interesting. You know, some of them are really small, you know, to mid-size to console size. But anyway, you know, you get the Prime Go, Joan. And depending on where you're at, you just get in the Prime Go joint. You turn the joint on. You log into your, I think Beatport is in with them. I don't know if anybody else fucks with them. I don't know if it's Amazon.
So your music is coming from Beatport?
Well, it can. They have it where you can log in. Not everybody's down. I haven't seen Apple Music down with any of these motherfuckers.
Oh, they ain't paying enough for Apple Music to be down. Well,
probably not. But I've seen Beatport. I think Amazon is in a couple of them. I forget. I didn't get the real the specs on it, but.
See, I can see real DJs not fucking with that because if all your music is coming from some streaming platform, niggas ain't fucking with that.
Well, it depends on what you play. But any case, the comments under that and the person who commented on the Prime Go says, I don't understand why the DJ industry in the world isn't interested in Denon DJ professionally. For an old school DJ, the Prime Go is a great system to work on. It literally does pretty much everything I needed to do, and it's a bargain at $1,000. It is runs that the Denon, their software, they got their own software, the Prime Go software. It's a standalone. You don't need the computer. Number four on that list is the Alpha Theta Omnis Duo. And basically, that Alpha Theta is a blue box. When you look at it, it's a tiny controller. It is a blue box. Look like a blue jean box and shit.
So, I got a question before you get all the way deep in.
Okay.
So, these, are they just like a box like this? This
it's a controller. No, it's a controller. Right, you know, it's got a mixer.
It's
up
got,
and down.
It's got platters?
Yeah, it's got platters.
Okay, I'm just wondering. I'm thinking you're just pushing a button and pulling up this song, pulling it's, up that. I'm like, what the? You could get a five-year-old to get up there. And
it
do
looks
that
like
shit.
It looks like a DJ controller, but it's all in one. No computer needed.
Okay.
Okay. This one comes with a 5-hour battery. It's the first product officially produced under Alpha Theta, which is nothing but Pioneer DJ. Alpha Theta, and I know I'm pronouncing it fucked up, but they own Pioneer DJ. Now, we don't know if Pioneer DJ eventually is going to go away and it's just going to be Alpha Theta. Who knows? But
so they own.
Well, yeah, they bought Pioneer DJ.
Oh, yeah, Pioneer's eventually going to go away.
Okay, but either way, Alpha Theta, the Omnis Duo, it is a cut-down version of the Opus Quad, which we'll get to later, and is a rival to the Denon DJ Prime Go. And that one cost, of course, still got the heavy Pioneer tax on it, $1,500.
Jeez.
But still, 5-hour battery. You can plug in your USB stick. The Prime Go actually has a, you know, SD card you can plug in, too. There are several ways you can get it. Again, they both got certain subscription people that you can log in. I think one is BeatSource. The other one is Beatport. You know, kind of like off-brand niggas. A lot of techno. A lot of house. A lot of people say a lot of this shit ain't even really designed for hip-hop. That's why right. They say that your boy, that's where Rain, not necessarily Rain, but that's the people who make the other software.
Rekordbox?
No, not Rekordbox. It's Pioneer. That shit's run on that Rekordbox shit, but internal.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But that Rekordbox shit, that shit's Mercedes shit. Niggas want monthly fees and shit. I ain't
everybody
with
going
shit.
There. Everybody yeah. Wants to get in your pockets every month.
All right, number three is the Numark Mixstream Pro Go. 5-6 hour battery. The cheapest thing on the list at $840. And they said what's really special about the Numark Mixstream Pro Go. It runs the same software as the Denon, where they're owned by the same parent company. Anyway, it's got what they got is all the features of systems that cost you well north of $1,000, and it is a perfectly capable standalone system. This shit with features kind of kills me because at the end of the day, can you mix? And I know that is not as straightforward today with
right.
With shit being automatically mixed for you.
Right. They're going to make beat match, tempo yeah. Match, whatever. You ain't never got to worry about mixing these days.
Right. So for dinosaur DJs, it's going to be our knowledge of the music. Even if, let's say, you take a 20-year-old and he's playing back in the days, he is going to do his research and be looking at what was the top 20 records in 1980.
Right. That's how he's going to
play. And that's how he's going to play
it's
it.
Gonna, it's going to get him over for the most part.
Yeah, for the most part, but he's not going to really able to, he's not going to blow out the spot.
Right, he doesn't know the music.
Right, right, no doubt. And that's the same thing for us. If somebody called us for a party today and be like, yo, I need that new shit.
Yeah, that's why we don't do anybody 35 and older, nigga. 35 and older, nigga.
I need that new shit. Nigga. You know what I mean? I'm going to be in there, you know, downloading that Billboard Top 200. So anyway, next on the list is the Pioneer DJ Opus Quad. Here we're getting into the big money now, boy, getting into the deep water. Price $3,200. This thing actually, to me, a lot of people, I don't know, I think it's gorgeous. I could actually see myself DJing on that.
Wow.
$3,100. Yeah, I can see why it's gorgeous. I think it's gorgeous. You know, if I had the money, you know, I buy the controller and then I get me a custom-made inlay, wood grain and shit. You know what I mean? It looks like a console. Make me feel like I'm up at the station. You know what I mean?
Damn.
Yeah, the Opus Quad. It basically, that's an Alpha Theta product. Pioneer DJ. It says Pioneer DJ, but it's Alpha Theta. Same thing. Real expensive. People say, you know, if you like, if you want to DJ on a CDJ 3000s, well, the Opus Quad gives you all of that, plus all that Pioneer hotness, you know what I'm saying?
Damn.
Crazy, you know what I mean? It's
gorgeous.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. I actually personally like the look of it. I probably never touch it at $3,100 and shit. No. You know what I'm saying? Shit, I got to get my whip fixed for that. And number one on the list on the standalone DJ system is, again, Denon DJ Prime 4 Plus at $2,200. They said it's a natural choice for many DJs, but not for those who care about club standard. Now, this is the thing. Pioneer is considered a club standard.
Okay.
Okay.
Was that the rotary?
No. It's just because it's Pioneer and Record Box. And that whole shit, clubs usually, big clubs, big festivals, it's Pioneer.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's all day. It's a lot of people saying that Denon shit hotter.
Denon?
That Denon shit.
Wow.
Hotter.
And Pioneer?
But Denon is getting played to the left.
B, it's the name, B.
It is. It is. My boy, shout to Mario, Chicago. The big Denon guy. He called me on the phone and was like, B, if you looking for a standalone or whatever, because I think I did send him a text message, what you think about these standalones? He was like, Denon. I was like, huh?
It's Denon.
Denon.
Okay.
But, you know.
He's a true believer.
Yeah, but he was a track store nigga.
Oh, back tractor.
In the day.
Okay,
yeah, he was a tractor nigga back in the day. So he always goes left. So, but anyway, what can I say? It's big, you know, it's a big four-channel console joint, you know what I mean? You can actually do four decks, you know, on the joint, you know, one and three and then two and four, you know, you're really doing the whole remix thing or whatever, and, you know, and Denon with the heavy, you know, separation stems
and all that shit.
I mean, all of them do it.
Everybody's getting to that game.
Yeah, everybody.
AI done changed the game.
Yeah, everybody's really rocking the stems, which I don't really, you know, I don't mind an acapella, but I don't know. I'm more of a harmonic blender myself, but
right. That's
another thing. But all I said, it is the standalone DJ system extravaganza. It's probably where it's going. I think the computer at some point may fade back. I don't know.
They're trying to push the computer out the door.
Yeah, yeah.
Have everything in-house.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But there's a danger, though. There's a danger because, you know, you can buy these units and shit, but you got to put a quarter in it to turn it on.
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about. These streaming services, B. And streaming services done fucked the whole game up, son. They done fucked everything up.
Well, let's hope. Look, let's just hope that it really doesn't go that way. At the end of the day, B, you know, take advice for some dinosaurs, yo. Keep the old gear.
B, you're gonna be loving the fact that you got some old shit that you can actually stand alone and plug along by itself.
Yeah, kind of keep the old gear and whatnot. All right, next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is, and we'll get to this Egri topic, okay? Your man Egri's been sending a few things or whatever. First, it started out as buck dancing.
I like how this nigga dropped that in our lap and rolled out.
Yeah, right? You know what I'm saying? But anyway, but Egri started this a while ago, man, like 2 months ago, talking about, you know, he thought it was a lot of buck dancing of African-American men in the greater media. I didn't really see that.
Okay.
Okay. But then he looked a little deeper, and then he started seeing a lot of young guys. And we've referenced it earlier again about, you know, two booties and a milkshake.
And a dance.
And a dance to go with it. I mean, there's a lot of guys who
booties in a milkshake. The two guys' booties in a milkshake?
I'm not doing that. I'm just saying there's a lot of young men who are dancing, I would say, in an effeminate style. That's the politically correct way I'm going to put it out there. And that.
So we need Lord Jamar on this episode? Talking about these niggas.
Well, I mean, yeah, it is.
How they dress in effeminate.
Yeah, it is kind of like a Lord Jamar a little bit, but it is just in, if you see and you trying to take a look and see, the problem is, I think partly Egri spent a lot of time on them social media, TikToks and shit.
This nigga went on a deep Instagram dive into,
yeah,
this shit.
See, I don't see that shit unless somebody send it to me. And apparently there is an awful lot of young guys who are doing a lot of effeminate style dancing, a lot of hip swiveling, a lot of, again, bonnet wearing, a lot of, you know.
Nigga, when you said that shit on the text, this little behind the scenes knowledge here. Egri sent the text to just us two. We got our little text chain between the three of us. And he sent the text talking about this. He just seen a nigga at the airport wearing a bonnet. So this nigga, King Killer, says, Little House on the Prairie like bonnet?
And I was on my
break. I just happened to be on break at that time at work. It just happened to be on break. I look at my phone and I just died laughing. And so I sent the picture.
This nigga sent a picture of Laura Ingalls
with a bonnet.
With
on.
A bonnet. So I know we dating ourselves and shit.
But
Little
that's
House
what I
on
thought about
and
yeah. Shit. Like, what? This nigga said a bonnet.
So anyway, so you got niggas wearing. I guess they're called bonnets. It's how the ladies used to tie their hair up,
right?
And shit. And a lot of niggas wearing that, like on the regular, like not like they protecting their cornrows or something when they go to bed. Just like out on the regular, like wearing a fitted.
And I seen it, and it didn't throw me off as much as seeing niggas wearing tight ass pants and all that shit. Like, nigga, you need some breathing room for your nuts, B. What the fuck is that? But that didn't throw me off. The bonnet does it. But this effeminate thing, it's been going on for quite some time. They've been changing the game. They did change the game. And all that Carhartt gear with fucking Tims and 40 belows and all that shit, nigga, that shit dead, niggas ain't doing that shit no more. Baggy clothes, that shit, you wear baggy clothes, niggas know you about 50 plus.
Indeed.
They know it. They ain't even gotta ask you how old you are. So, I've been seeing how this shit goes, where niggas is making it tighter and tighter, and making the dances, and making all the dances unisex. Almost where men and women could do the dance, even though it looks like a dance that only females should be doing.
But what he wants to know, before you get too far, what he wants to know, having raised a young son, which it's kind of even, you can't even answer that because...
It's a different era.
Because you raised, you're right, because even raising Kobe was a different era.
Like, my son's 35.
Right. And Kobe was still in the era where you could put Tim's and baggy clothes on him.
At that time.
At that time.
Coming up.
Yeah, when he was coming up.
What he was seeing was not this. And I can almost not blame them for dressing this way, because this is what you see. This is normal behavior. It's normal to see a nigga wearing what they're wearing and doing what they're doing. And it's being promoted to them to wear this shit and to act that way and to dance that way. This is what they've seen. And as a parent, are you being cruel to your children if you tell them to take that tight shit off, or don't buy them any tight clothes, buy them loose-fitting clothes, and tell them, no, you ain't wearing no bonnet. No, nigga, you ain't doing this. No, nigga, you ain't doing that.
Yeah, but that's just like anything else. At that point, you're just making it the poison fruit.
Right, because and then they're going to run to it. It's like the preacher's daughter. And you telling her doctor, do this, do that, she become the biggest hoe in the on the block.
The Lord told Adam and Eve, the whole garden yours, except for
that,
this
apple tree.
Yeah, fall back. Okay, but it was the serpent. Yo, I'm trying to tell you, God, he playing you.
I'm telling you, you're going to have all kind of knowledge you eat off that motherfucker.
Exactly.
He don't want you to be as smart as him.
Exactly. And then people get out of balance because they be like, oh, nah, it was Eve blaming Eve. Nah, Adam ran out like a bitch, you know what I'm saying, when he should have been there checking Eve. You know what I mean? So that's just being 100. I'm sorry, Lord, I don't mean to blaspheme like that, but this is street level. You know what I mean? So anyway, the point I'm saying, to get to the point, it's kind of hard. I would suspect that I'm not answering for Kurt G. Can't really say it has got to be exceedingly difficult in this era to raise young African-Americans or young guys, period.
Nigga, I got to recover real quick.
Hold up. This nigga's out of phase right now.
I'm trying to hold it back.
Why are you out of phase?
Laughing that hard into this nigga. You just said Adam should have checked Eve. Like, he just should have rolled up on her like some old school pimp. Like, bitch, you out of pocket. Bitch, what you doing with that apple in your mouth, bitch? Hey. Put it down, bitch.
Hey.
You should have checked her.
I'm just... read your Bible on the account. That's all I'm going to say.
I understand, but it just found it funny. You just broke it down to that level. So... Anyway,
Lord, forgive me. That was uncalled for.
I got real tears in my eyes right now, B. But anyway, at this point, B, blaming us ain't enough.
Yes,
blaming us as the parents ain't enough, because when you have to blame the whole system. You can't just blame the parent. You can't just blame the child. You got to blame the entire system, because when the parent goes to the store, whether they go to Walmart or Gucci, guess what's in there? The same tight-ass clothes. So they don't have no choice but to buy the tight-ass clothes for their kids. You know what I'm saying? So what are they going to put on their child? The shit that's available. They may want baggy clothes, but ain't no baggy clothes in this bitch. They ain't selling that. So you got to get them what it is, what's available. So blaming the child at this point or the parent is beyond, to me, is way past that.
I was having a conversation, and I'm going to get out of this. I was having a conversation, again, exceedingly hard, because you have 12-year-olds who have access to adult-level communication and adult-level tools that exceed us. At 12, niggas like us is just getting off of the Evel Knievel wind-up Jones.
Off the green machine.
Yeah, and big wheels and big shit.
Right.
We at 12, we're just getting... That's as much as we know.
Right.
Kids at 12 now
got
have
a fucking plethora of knowledge.
Right.
They know
so
more
much,
shit than we know
so
right now.
So much knowledge and access to a world of communication that we couldn't even dream of. You know what I'm saying?
Right. But the problem with that whole thing is knowledge... Without knowing what to do with that knowledge or even understanding what it is. You know what I'm saying? If a nigga tell you 2 plus 2 is 4, you could tell a baby 2 plus 2 is 4, and they'll you can say, what's 2 plus 2? And the baby be like, 4. The child don't fucking know how to do the work to actually understand what actually 2 plus 2 equals 4. How do you come to that? All they know is when you say 2 plus 2, just say 4. That's what it means. 2 plus 2, what's that? 4. So these children, that's where they're at. They're in front of their face, they've been hit with this knowledge, and it's like, whatever it tells me to do, that's what I'm going to do. I don't know why I'm doing it, but I'm doing it.
Mm. Well, but that's what's up, Egree. So that's a little bit more complicated.
Well, Egree's back.
You know what
I mean? See him in the corner, nigga. You need to get in on this.
Oh, no. What happened?
Yeah, I'm back.
Get in on this conversation, B.
Oh, well, tell me what the topic is.
Okay,
your topic.
Okay, so it started, and I was trying to get out of the topic, but it started where it started 2 months ago, where you was talking about maybe, you know, a lot of buck dancing. I didn't really see that in the media, and then we moved it along further where you're sending evidence of young guys dancing in an effeminate style. And then, of course, we went through the whole Bonnet, Little House on the Prairie situation.
Yeah.
And then so we bring it forward. You know what I'm saying? I had an unfortunate blaspheme moment about the Bible.
You'll hear it.
But we get to that point, and it, now it is that where we think that society at large, it is very, very difficult to raise, and we're starting at the age of 12, a young 12-year-old young man, because when we were 12, niggas is just getting off Evel Knievel and Big Wheels. Okay,
yes.
12-year-olds today,
robots,
right?
Nigga.
12-year-olds today have a level of sophistication and communication and access to world-class tools and telephones that, you know, shit. A garbage telephone has more computing power than what they sent to Apollo to the moon. You know what I'm saying? And has so much access that. It is very difficult for you to put a gate around your children. Very difficult in terms of societal pressure, whether if it means dancing, sort of swiveling your hips like a woman or wearing bonnets. It's very difficult.
Okay, so those are, to me, real quick, those are two separate things. Access is the key as far as what these youths are able to access, and then that access is not given its proper safeguarding by parents. Every app that your child has, you should know as their parent what app they have. You should know that there are guards on apps to keep certain content away from certain, right? But even with that, that doesn't mean that her girl or his boy or whatever at school or on the bus, they can't see somebody else's phone or whatever and get clowned.
You know what, though? Want to be 100, though? Just be 100. I think that my oldest granddaughter, will eat you, me, Kurt G will eat any grown nigga on the phone and knowledge and how to circumvent all that shit. I think she will eat niggas. I think most people who are 13 and 14 will eat 50 and 60-year-old niggas,
right,
on the technology.
Because if you're at a level of being just a regular parent and you're like, okay, you can't have this app, you can't do this, you can't do that. Well, nigga, how many times we in here trying to find the workarounds? You know it's workarounds to take blocks off your phone. It's workarounds to take this off your phone that your parents then put in there and try to stop you from doing this, that, and the third. So they're going to find it. Because it's your children, and we were children at one point in time. Your parents tell you not to do something, tell you this, this, and that. You're trying to find a way to get the fuck around that. And how are you going to get outside while they're sleeping?
But that doesn't take away the responsibility of the parent to continue to safeguard. Because if you know that there are workarounds, and we do, then that's when you get them. Surprise! Let me see that phone. You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
I guess I just have a sympathy in the fact that for most working parents, the phone is a necessity. It is an evil necessity, not even evil, but it is a necessity to keep in contact with your kids, to do the best you can. And you really don't have the father knows best timing. And I think certain extent that it is kind of unfortunate that parenting is painted with such a broad brush in today's society. It's exceeding. I can't imagine, you know, I can't imagine because you. When you ask Kurt G about raising his son, and we was talking about gear, and it was even back then coming up in the 90s and raising Jacoby, it was easier because you could still put a pair of Timberlands on him with baggy jeans and a Yankee fitted, and he's good.
In the 90s.
Yeah, but if we ain't in the 90s, and sons, unfortunately, let me not do that whole media bullshit, because there are sons that are being raised respectfully and what we consider the right way.
Oh, of course. We're not saying it's a wasteland.
However, there is a large segment of young boys being raised by their moms. And though they're probably doing the best they can, we know that, I mean, it's on record that a child should be raised by both parents, right? It's on record. We know it ain't. That's not the way it goes all the time, but that's the way it's supposed to be. So when we don't have one of those elements, then the other one is going to be magnified. And a lot of that gets put off on these young boys. And it's unfortunate. They'll be around their aunties. They'll be around their grandmama. They'll be around their moms.
Right, but let me go first. Okay. Let me go first, B. I'm going to have to push back on that just a little bit, son. Only because I know me and him, we were raised by single mothers. I didn't have a father in the house. We had no father. There was five of us in there with no father. And five children, four different fathers. So, and none of us had the pressure or felt like we needed to be effeminate because we were around a bunch of women. None, me, my brother Tommy, you know my brothers. Ain't none of us on no feminine shit. Do. We didn't have to be. We didn't feel
I'm
like.
I'm not talking about 1970.
But I'm just saying. Let me finish my point. I'm saying that we didn't have that pressure. There was no phone in our face telling us to shake our asses on some female shit, telling us to do this, to do that, to be more like females, to act like females. We didn't have that during our time. Right. I'm saying I've gotten off the point of blaming these children and blaming these parents. I'm on the point of blaming the system because the system fucked it up. The system made it where this is what you got. This is how you got to dance. This is how you got to dress. This is how you got to look. This is what you got to do. And they follow that shit. They follow what they see. And there's nothing that the parents can do if the only choice you got is when you go in the store, ain't no fucking loose-fitting clothes in this bitch. Everything they sell in there is tight. Everything in this bitch is tight. They ain't got no fitteds. They got bonnets. This is what they got. And the kids want to be like the rest of the kids they see in school. And it's like, what do you tell your child? You can't dress that way?
Kurt. I know Killer got something to say, but since you brought up the bonnet again, let me tell you how that came into play. I'm back from a quick flight as well. And in the airport, I saw a young man in his late 20s, maybe somewhere between 19 and 22. And this, I mean, he had on regular gear, but he was wearing one of them bonnets, yo. One of them bonnets, like the shit that has, where they stick to your head in the front and it'd be a big bag, like shit in the back. Used to call them shit head bags. Was rocking that shit in the airport like it was nothing. And then I was talking to Kill about it on text, and I said, let me look and see if this is a thing. And it was a thing. And I'm like, when did young men start wearing bonnets?
We fell into that ourselves, B. Our parents are probably saying the same thing. When did these niggas start wearing these loose-ass clothes? When did these niggas start thinking this was cool? When did these, you know what I'm saying?
A bonnet, B.
Now, B, I guess what I want to do for equal time here is say that it is I don't think you understand. I don't think I think I see it, but to a certain extent, I don't think that I understand that the pressure that the electronic device you have in your hand has over you. Think about this. Think about this. In our day, if they would be like, yo, you don't understand what if a Hustler or Playboy ended up in our hands as 12-year-olds. What that does. You know, people were saying that. You don't know what that does to a young mind. Okay? Right. B, yeah. I don't think that you understand or most of us understand the pressure of that electronic device. So I think when you start seeing young boys dancing like women or gyrating like women or wearing bonnets and shit, B, that is already a growth and an extension that has been grown, that has been fertilized, seeded, and it's bloomed by the time they end up on niggas. That's already been done, you know? And then so here you come. Here we come. A lot of times with that mower. We're going to mow that shit, right?
Right. We come through with our dinosaur way of thinking.
Right. And but what happens, yo? What happens to your grass in a couple of weeks?
Grows right back.
It grows back. So is that why a wide receiver in the NFL gets a touchdown and it starts wiggling?
Yes.
Is that why? I mean, is that part of that?
All of that.
The social media aspect?
So the point that I'm going to say, is that is why, in my particular opinion, that you have to instill in them something to so they know how to come back home. See, to me, that's what God does. They can go away, right? But if they have that instilled in them, the morals and values instilled in them, once all that other stuff burns out, you're going to come back home to something good and wholesome that doesn't stay with you forever. So, you know, I may sound like a hypocrite in that, because on the one hand, I'd be like, yo, I don't like young boys. Trap cats can't rhyme, you know what I'm saying? But that's art, and that's how their output. Now, what we're talking about here is that you're talking about NFL players wiggling and video dances or whatever. That's going to be, just like Kurt G said, that's going to be just like it was for us. Carhartt was chain gang gear. That didn't put us in jail. You know what I mean?
No, it didn't. But you wasn't running around like Grandmaster Flash and Furious 5.
But it didn't matter. The point I'm saying is that in today's society, we weren't
influenced by their dressing.
In today's society, and I know this digest don't want way left, but in today's society, I believe, and this is me, I'm speaking for King Killer, I believe that a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and you put that in your children in church, and at that point, you step back and then you let God do the work, because he'll bring them back home. Yeah, they'll dance effeminate and they'll do this, that, and the third and wild out. But they'll come back. They'll come back. That's just my opinion. Because you're not going to beat that shit out of
you
people.
Can't. You can't. Yep. It's just, no, the more you try to no. beat it out of them, the more they're going to want to do it.
Right.
So
right.
To me, it's like, okay, you just let it go. It's the next thing. And like you got to hope and pray that you've instilled enough knowledge in them from just in raising them that they'll do what they're supposed to do. And you know what I mean? They won't be totally influenced by everything they see. Like they used to say back in the day, if they jump off the bridge, you're going to jump off the bridge too? You know what I'm saying? Mm. You're smart enough to know not to jump off that fucking bridge. You may get up to the edge, but then be like, fuck that. I'm going back.
No doubt.
Well, welcome to the Parenting Digest. And we also offer parenting tips.
Whether you want them or not.
I know, right?
Woo, boy. Got some good ones.
No doubt. All right, so we're going to finish up. We're going to finish up with rest in peace to Mr. DJ Clark Kent. Hails from Crown Heights, Brooklyn. What a hip-hop career. What a hip-hop life he lived.
Wow.
I mean, he started out as Dana Dane's DJ. You know, was a big deal in the industry. Too long to mention on this show, but some of the highlights I didn't know, or I never really, I guess, cared enough to look. I didn't know he produced Brooklyn's Finest.
Yes, he did.
I did not know that.
I knew that.
You know what I mean? Again, I didn't know, maybe because I didn't care enough to really look. I didn't know he produced Players Anthem.
Yep.
What?
Yep.
Players.
Wow.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And that's not the only, that's just the two I pulled out. You know what I mean? That's just the two I pulled out. A DJ, you know, in charge of a world-class DJ troupe. A&Rs at several majors, you know, was an incredible sneakerhead, was claimed to own 3,500 pairs of shoes.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Was a big, big sneakerhead. Actually, they said in 2012, they named Clark Kent the number one sneakerhead as far as that culture goes. Wow. You know what I'm saying? What a hip hop. You know, knew everybody. Knew Jay and Biggie and just knew everybody, was cool with everybody. Nobody really had a bad word to say about Clark Kent, you know. You know, the unfortunate thing around his death, you know, and that's just par for the media. But, you know, God, you know, shout to Clark Kent, man. Just incredible, you know. What a hip hop life. Anybody, you know what I'm saying? The way you love this culture, man, he represented the right way and to the fullest. And so we thank you.
To the fullest.
To the fullest.
You know what I'm saying? You know, Brooklyn's finest. Rest in peace, son. No doubt. So that includes the Hip Hop Digest. We want crazy long and want crazy parenting advice. whatnot. So, you know.
Hey, wait, what did they say? Hip hop is life, yo.
Yeah, it is.
Well, it is, considering that, you know, you've been in hip hop as long as we've been in hip hop, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
No doubt.
We seen hip hop grow up from a baby. You watched it grow. It was born.
And turned back into a baby.
Yeah, ain't that something? This know, baby, right? Little baby, big baby.
No doubt. So we're at the end of the show, and we're going to get to the, I almost said, world famous.
Oh, man, it's been a minute.
It's been a minute.
I know. I mean, I'm just saying, yo, it's the Digital Freaks, Peter and Matt. That's what it is. Digital Freaks, albums of the week.
All right. This week, brought to you by our man Matt, Danielson and Finn Hairbrain Schemes. That's Danielson and Finn Hairbrain Schemes. That's brought to you by Matt and brought to you by our man Pete. It's Mutant Academy, Keep Holly Alive. Mm-hmm. That's Mutant Academy, Keep Holly Alive.
I need to listen to that for sure.
I'm saying Holly, it could be Holy, but Holly looks like Holly to me. But and then brought to you by myself is Superstition. All that was left unsaid, and Superstition, all that was left unsaid.
Indeed. So,
okay.
No doubt it was good to have all parties in, and as far as the digest goes.
No doubt.
No doubt. So, we're the Hip Hop Digest, and thank you for rolling with us, even though we're not really getting the bag.
That means you down with these non-bag getting ass niggas.
Yeah, man.
Well, guess what? We ain't gonna be on nobody's Rico. We ain't gonna be on nobody's party list. We ain't gonna be on none of that. So there we go.
No Bo Diddley list.
No bending over the desk.
Damn, going out to dinner and shit.
Man, it's crazy how some of this shit you was hearing is like coming right to truth. You're like, wow.
Woo,
that nigga was really talking about these niggas.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
Yes, he was.
In real time.
In real time. He's like, I know this shit is happening.
DMX, we miss him.
So, truth tellers.
No doubt. All right, we'll see y'all when we get back in. Peace.
100.
Bobby Fischer. Yeah. Bobby's playing chess, I'm playing beat. Vice President, convoy of limousine jeeps. Cheap is the brand, rugged. Steep is the land, gold nuggets. Keep in your hand for bussing. Sleep if you can, they coming. Peak the demand, they want it. Hip hop music, maturity stunning. Them not community of it. Double agent, financial opportunity. Bob does playing chess, I'm playing beat. Vice President, convoy of limousine jeeps. Second in charge, killing the president is hard. I'd rather drink beer, smoke brisket and cigars. Elaine in my membrane, Julia Louis, know what I'm saying? Dreyfus, no authority if you're not like us. Zeros and ones, it's a plane or a cipher. Conjuring scripts, ghostwriters. Sound bombing the mix, now with either ice or fire. Bobby's playing chess, I'm playing beat. Vice president, convoy of limousine jeeps. Politics, playing the board game.
He's boring, he's lame. Saying opinion, no shame. She's gorgeous, she's flame. Portraying via avatar. You couldn't pronounce my real name. My vice is pain. Buy rice from Spain. Cheap limousines in a lane. Encrypted conversations. My assistant has patience. Green lighting, military assassination. Bobby playing chess, I'm playing beat. Vice president, convoy of limousine jeans. These bars are candy. Not quite a walk on the beach, but it's sandy. I lemonade whatever you hand me until the name ring bells like Apache, Dr. Kareem Muse, nothing fancy. Thomas, I doubt, could tell me what I can't be. I don't rap, I relax and prepare. Sit back and clap for the man in a chair. Politics. Bobby's playing chess, I'm playing the vice president, convoy of limousine jeans. Politics.
Gotta go through this. Yeah. Take you to another galaxy right now. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yo. She's secondary to the knowledge necessary to bring forth my child through her womb. Gotta give her that support that she needs as a mother. I gave her the game with Raw on the third date. Gave her my last name. Man up for the fault. Father on his duty. Got a job dealing with kids. Easy to speak to me. Let's build work together like we on the same team. Cash rules everything. Stay on top like it's cream. Share thoughts over the table. Anything in between. Go through this several days. Call it a routine. It's all organic. From the dirt so fertile. I'm loving this planet. Baby, I won't hurt you. Gone for a few days. Little girl, good hands. Relationship goes both ways. Woman and man. As time changed, gotta adapt to the truth. Fight what's taken away. That's weak and dilute. Help each other out. Get close to the root. Got the kid in the back. Wanna take aim and shoot. Play truth for dare. While your girl look cute. Throw hate in the air. Contaminate, pollute. I recruit love. I call it the takeover. You gotta get it right. Be the maker and the owner. Yeah, be the maker and the owner. You gotta get it right. Be the maker and the owner. Yeah, you gotta get it right. Be the maker and the owner. You gotta get it right. Be the maker and the owner.
Yeah, man.
You gotta get it right. Be the maker and the owner. Yeah.
You gotta get it right. Be the maker and the owner.
Pop a bottle of Moet, watch the fizz. Bubble to the top of the glass, I sip with my whiz. Our minds form like Voltron, we thinking big, the goal is slim. Understand what's the body without the rib. Contemplating success, we argue about first dibs. She lost schooling, I'm painting perfect pictures when I spit. Two star babies, we exactly who the odds against. But that's my baby, double digit years without the kid. But in due time, we sort of multiply and expand. We taking a chance, I lead the way, she squeezing my hand. Into the darkness we go, couple goals and some plans. And I think this all started with a chant from a glance. We stepped in the field, we hearing all the chants from the stands. And we doing us, so focused like we stuck in a trance.
Yes.
Only goal is stay down and get the dough up. The perks of being the maker and the owners.
The earth, the life, bearing the gods. The fruits of a labor, two peas of a pod. She the whiz, no Mike Jackson. Jack, she from the rib cage. I'm a sun that rotates without throwing shade. I anchor the knowledge that lead to understanding. I'm just a donor, cause she the maker, I'm the owner.
Yeah, be the maker and the owner. You gotta get it right. Be the maker and the owner. You gotta get it right. Be the maker and the owner. You gotta get it right. Be the maker and the owner. You gotta get it right. Be the maker and the owner.
Kane, what up? Big walk and all that. Brooklyn. Shouts out to the God, Mecca and Medina, and peace to the womb man.
We are giving you these scriptures
on our authority and by the authority of the prophets and the apostles, who came to open everybody's eyes to the fact that you are two manifestations of the divine. This discovery is the gospel, that is the good news, with the eternal energy of the universe and the love that moves the sun and other stars.
When KP is silent, he's still powerful, like a pharaoh in knowledge. Y'all think about it, when y'all done, I'll be over to the next one. Giving your mind and your ears direction, what you hear is perfection. Will you disturb the Egyptian kings? Death comes swift on wings. Either kiss the ring or get bit and sting. Or is dimethyltryptamine? That mean you die while you trip off of beings. No human beings what you're seeing. Only me in a huge coliseum, with slaves following me to their freedom, with trumpets and swords, and we're taking out a kingdom. When I rap, I'm Lord, and this is my Eden. I write in my laws for the snakes and treason, chariots out the floor that I'm placing my feet in. Horses put my microphone cord, I take a seat then. We thrust through my bedroom door, straight into deep winds. The crown of love, eternal light, glory, seat of the throne. I receive microphones, surely thine will shall be done, because there's nothing new under the sun. The crown of love, eternal light, glory, seat of the throne. I receive microphones, surely thine will shall be done, because there's nothing new under the sun. I wrote on steles and pillars, a master killer and jizzer, and saw my own reflection crash into mirrors. The healer, shout out the RZA, the cure. My rhymes could be mistaken as cocaine lines so pure. I should have wrote this on aluminum foil, light a torch beneath it, to the room is fumed with the royal, like Upper Egypt. Back in the days we used to fight if you scuffed a sneaker. Your name ring bells through the school if you snuffed a teacher. I used to rhyme off a boombox with a busted speaker, back when Biggie and Tupac was just a feature. I started rhyming like I couldn't be touched by neither. I was only a child like King Tut, but deeper. While y'all poses on Instagram, I put roses in the pentagram. Scent in my nose when I kill a ram. I'm son of man. Rappers think they goats, but they still a lamb. So I use them for a coat and to warm my hands. The crown of love, eternal light, glory, seat of the throne. I receive microphones, surely thine will shall be done, because there's nothing new under the sun. The crown of love, eternal light, glory, seat of the throne. I receive microphones, surely thine will shall be done, because there's nothing new under the sun.
Since inspiration always comes through a human vehicle, whatever truths I might utter to you will be distorted. My voice will be distorted, and you might mistake the meaning of what I said. Now, so therefore, everybody who receives divine inspiration, sometimes it comes for no reason that anybody can determine, and you can take that or...
And first, on his way to the booth, hailing from the south side of Lexington, Kentucky, standing at 6'3", 220, Mr. King Tucky himself, Divine.
My rap's optimal like a graphic novel. Somehow I made it without a map through the obstacles. I'm fresh water out the spring, not a plastic bottle. So rap like a swaddle, we smashing on the throttle. I survived baddies on the strip doing tip drills. The Lord armor stronger than Frodo, rocket mithril. My lyrics come through and rearrange the tapestry. You trying to find a loophole, trying to build a rhapsody. I gotta be the most famous non-celebrity, strong pedigree, skin dipped in bronze, calm but readily chilling. With my mom's listening to songs by Lettucey, slicker than the Fonz, with bronze longevity. Yeah, 20 plus years in the game, and King Tucky coming in the fears just the same. All these rappers I used to be OGs too, and now looking at these youngsters like OGs too. It's crazy, crazy.
And now making his way to the booth, standing at 5'7", 210 pounds, hailing from Project City, New Jersey, the one and only Rashid Chappell.
Kelly Pell with the 22 tux, a beanie mouth stocking. You know the options work. Time to clock in, I'm locked in. Top of the chain is where my spot is. And dice games, shaking them bones, I'm often spotted. My dough knotted, rubber bands, rubber grips, keloids. I'm pretty faces, center stage, shaking tits, taking sips out the solo polo with the horse on it. And the Figaro chain with the cross on it. And the Nissan scent with the frost on it. I'd rather take it all and never take a loss on it. Most want it, flaunt it like an OG. The way I'm cutting up lines is like a whole key. Went from picking the locks to my own key. Went from paying them dues, now they owe me. Be sure you spell a name right. Too close, you get open and close the same night. Word.
Wow. It only took 2 rounds to knock out the whack MCs.
respect for the pain to start. This wreck right here, it ain't for the faint of heart. They thought they saw the worst verse from the team of G-men who seemed like nerds at first. Once they get to know us, people dig us. Leaders in the fight for equal rights for niggas. Inventor of the more dimension of flow, no bout a doubt it. This go for if you're about it or ride around it. Whatever's clever, the master foe, whoever you hook or hurt her, but now I hold no. If we see tomorrow, the next day classes, the villain in the back with the x-ray glasses. Have no fear, the ninja here. Feeling like the tinge in your ear from chicken ginger beer. When it's on, local head gon' lay low. And heat it like beef patty, cocoa bread, con queso. If you say so, lace the whole case low. They say wear a metal mask in case his face show. He told them they flows, his bitch talking, ayos. His whole crew walk with pitchfork and halos. Say ho if you never worked a J.O. Keep more cash in the stash and a peso. Okay, yo, y'all know who to follow. Tie him up in the crib and leave the place hollow. Oh, suit, the goose, he's loose. So wild, you couldn't chase it down with straight fruit juice. Frown like the first time you taste couscous. Stash the deuce-deuce. Troops asking truce. Today on Intense Rec Week, we have the supervillain in his own defense to speak. It's all part of my mental techniques. Available to freaks and pencil neck geeks. Train the same brain to an insane train of thought. On a campaign trail, he came to gain your support. Charge cash for an autograph. Say some shit to make your daughter laugh. Then slaughter the ass. See him on the big screen like Steve McQueen. Do something and never be back once he leave the scene. Keep more medicated pads and Stridex for his own side wrecks with no known side effects. Before you press charge, use your noodle. So what when he grab the mic, he scratch your cute cuticles. Keep your mouth shut, everything will be beautiful. It would be awfully rude of you, now get back to your hootie hoo. Damn it ain't worth the drama canon. From the calm bandit, eat rhymes like pomegranate. Soon as he stepped in, he lit the room. Boom, reschedule my noon with Brit Hume. In love with Mary Jane, she's my main thing. Pull the right from that web ahead, what a lame brain. Maintain, say it, don't spray it. You wanna see your girl again, you might as well pay it. If I had a dime for every rhymer who busts guns, I have a cool meal for my sons and trust funds. When I was broken and a broke dick dog, I always kept an L to smoke and thick fog. When it rained, saw the thunderstorm. I got more rhymes in the summer than musty underarms. 1-2, microphone checker. First learned to neck off a home ec home wrecker. This is back when he was like crib age. When he hit the stage, like a gauge to the rib cage. Break the mic like a rock star, break a guitar. Jump off the stage like yeehaw, 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 yeehaw.